Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, as you always are, Fridays at 11 in the morning Pacific Standard Time in the entertainment capital of the world. Here we are. Hey guys, it's always nice to have you here. And today we're talking about a variety of subjects. And I said the entertainment capital of the world because my special guest who will be coming on in a little while is 7-time Emmy Award winner, reporter, anchor, John Corcoran, who has worked on so many television and national syndicated shows as a reporter, junketeer, and all that. He's got a couple of new books coming out as well. So we're going to be talking, hopefully, in a little while about some of the celebrities and what they're really like behind the camera. I mean, the real life. Look, we all have issues, right? Everybody has problems and stressors, and we call that adjusting to an environmental stressor in psychology. So everybody is real, and everybody has problems, and everybody gets uptight and all that. But sometimes, you know, we hear stories about actors and actresses who are really difficult to deal with. So we're going to be talking about that. John has some great stories for us coming up. And also, I wanted to talk to one of our hosts who has worked with many celebrities, but also is in the spiritual community because he has sort of a different take on life and how to be happier, speaking about people who are unhappier than most. And he is sort of a guru, really young guru. And he is the host of Dave's Good Vibration Station. And we're going to pull him up on the air right now. Let's do that. Hi, how are you? David, are you with me? I think I blew him off. Wait. Hi there. There he is.
Hey,
how are you doing, buddy? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's such a pleasure and an honor, to say the least, to be a guest on your show. Thank you so much for having me today, Doc.
Great to have you, Dave. And by the way, I want everybody to know that you can listen to David every Sunday right here on LA Talk Radio, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, on his Good Vibration Station. And
You're too kind.
No, you're great. You know what?
Yeah,
I like?
Hey guys, yeah. if you're looking to raise the vibration, you know where to go. And if you guys are avid Vibration Station listeners, or even if you've listened a couple times, you've probably heard Doc Michelle on my show as well. So I just got to say, from personal experience, she is hands down just one of the greatest people that I have the pleasure of knowing. What a whole heart, what a wise, compassionate, understanding, loving, giving person. And Doc, I really just want to share with you on your own show how much you are loved, how much I love you, and how you really truly lead by example. I've always looked up to you. You've always been one of my greatest mentors in the entertainment industry, in radio, television. You are awesome.
You're so sweet.
You really got to give yourself some props. So,
wow.
Thank you for having me on the show, Doc. I'm truly honored.
Well, what I wanted to do, you know, kind of first of all, because I've had you on the show before. You've had me on your show a lot more. But I just wanted to, you know, just give you a bit of a promotion before we go talking about entertainment with my special guest, John Corcoran.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, that'll be great. No, he has some wonderful stories. New book coming out, and we're going to be talking about also his last book that was recently released, Doing Julia. But anyway, anyway, Dave, so Dave, if you could like just kind of let listeners know some of the things that you, you know, talk about on your show, then, you know, because I'm more of a psychologist. I'm a shrink. And here I help people with their issues on a more practical level. But you also help people on your show on a spiritual level. So what are some of the things, why should people tune into your show every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time?
Here, I appreciate that, Doc. Well, here's what it's about. You know, first of all, I do want to say it is so important to understand the psychological aspects of human consciousness, of the human experience. So as a starter, first I do want to say thank you. I really want to make it clear that the relationship between psychology, science, and spirituality are hand in hand.
Yeah.
They all work in concert together. There is this common theme throughout the collective consciousness of, you know, the planet, which says there is a gap between science and spirituality.
As we know,
with a lot of these books, you know, like The Secret, and even channelers, like speakers, teachers, Abraham Hicks, people like this that will write these books, that literally, these are books of science. These are books of quantum law. These are books of how to use the laws of the universe to your advantage to live the life of your dream. So the thing that I would most like to share with your listeners is when you listen to Dr. Michelle's show, understand that she is not only giving you points that have to do with changing the psychological facet of yourself, or facets, right? But she's also giving you an entirely new approach to embodying a greater strength within your spirit. And what I mean by that is by using the tools that you offer, Dr. Michelle, using the psychological tools that you use and that you offer and that you've helped millions of people with, you're not only helping them find some psychological balance, you're also assisting them in finding spiritual balance. And that's where our shows come together and make this perfect circle.
That's true. This was supposed to be about you, by the way. But thank you so much for that.
You're so sweet. Well,
yeah.
You're such a big inspiration to me, Dr. Michelle, that it's difficult for me not to incorporate the things that you've taught me. I say that with every cell in my body.
Thank you so much.
I thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for being here, David. Thanks for having me on your show so many times.
And
this Sunday you're going to be talking about manifesting some things and how people can use some of the tools.
Law of attraction, baby.
Right. There you go. And that's it. If you want to learn more about, you know, a spiritual sort of side of your life, and David can really help, you know, boost your manifestation of things through using his tools as well. So he's talking about the law of attraction. He's talking about some of the latest research on quantum. Dr. Joe Dispenza, which of course has a new book out, but he is the, you know, mind body guy, the neurobiologist. And
which actually has been on your show, your show multiple times, Doc, is that's really cool to have the Dr. Joe Dispenza come on your show. Well, you've also had Marianne Williamson on your show. You've had some really, really influential and powerful people in the spiritual community come on your show. That also is a testament to show the bridge between science, psychology, and spirituality is really closing. There's not that same gap that was present 5, 10, 20 years ago.
Exactly.
So
no, it's
that's
so true,
basically
Dave.
It You know,
I appreciate you coming on the show because, again, you always promote me, and I just wanted to give you a heads up and say, everybody, listen, if you want to sort of improve your life a little bit, Dave uses some meditation tools, also sort of getting in touch with your intuition a little bit better. It's not all like, spiritual stuff as well. David's very scientific. So, Davey, thank you so much for being on the show today. And, again, I'm looking forward to what you're going to be talking about on Sunday at 1 p.m. right here on LA Talk Radio.
Oh, hey, thank you, Doc. You have the best show on internet radio. I am truly honored and humbled to be here with you this morning. And I can't wait to listen to the rest of the show.
Good.
I'm very, very excited.
Great. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Doc. You have a blessed day. All the love and light and abundance from my heart to yours.
Thank you, Dave, so much. Bye-bye. Mm.
Okay.
That's so cool because, what's up with David is he is one of the youngest, leaders in the, I would say positive thinking, if you want to say spiritually uplifting community, but he's still down to earth. He's still got his feet on the ground. He does his research and studies a lot about physics and neurobiology as well, so it's kind of nice to have him. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to make a 360 here. Because we're going to be talking about people who may not be that, let's say, aligned, you know what I'm saying, in their spiritual growth. But that's not very fair to say because there are a lot of celebrities out there who, really have their act together and who are genuinely lovely people. So I promoted him a little bit earlier in the show today. And he's here in the studio with me, and his name is John Corcoran. He's been here several times, one of my favorite guests.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Michelle.
And let me turn on your mic. Now you can thank me.
Thank you very much, Dr. Michelle.
Let's see why that didn't work.
Testing.
You're there.
Here I am finally. Yes, glad to be here. Always a pleasure.
Thanks so much for showing
that,
up to the show.
That David guy is really sharp. He's a smart young man.
He is.
Yeah.
For his age.
Looking forward to that show.
Yeah, it'll be a fun show
to listen to.
Thank you.
He'd be a fan of yours.
Well, he's, hey, what can I tell you? He wants more airtime on my show.
What can I say? Ambitious, too.
That's right. Let me introduce you. By the way, thanks for showing up.
Well, it's good to be here, finally.
It's sort of a catch-as-catch-can, like, hey, if you could make it, it'd be awesome. And you did, and
well,
thank you.
Well, once that tire got reinflated, I made it. What can you do? Of all times, for a tire to go flat, you just, oh.
Wow. Well, you got here.
So I'm a little late, but David filled in admirably.
He's good.
Probably people are out there saying, why do we get rid of him and bring this lunkhead on? But, we'll try our best.
Well, like I said, always a pleasure to have you here, John.
Thank you.
John's, by the way, a seven times you won Emmy Awards?
Oh, but who's counting?
My gosh. And that's for your interview and reporting work, anchoring work for various networks, including ABC, CBS, and the Disney folks, who are now ABC, of course.
Yep.
And you have interviewed.
I have
the
interviewed.
Most well-known and some of the not so well-known.
I'm thinking about 1,000 celebrities. That's my count. That counts a couple times, but roughly.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. I wanted to talk about your latest book, Doing Julia. I mean, it's been out. We've talked about it a little bit, but it's always interesting to find out your perspective of celebrities. And we were talking earlier about psychological profiles.
Yeah.
And everybody in this world has what we call in psychology an adjustment disorder. What that means is we're trying to adjust to an environmental stressor, whether it's relationship issues, financial issues, self-esteem issues, familial issues, whatever it is.
Got them all.
We all have it. Right. We all have them. But I think a lot of celebrities have them more so than many people, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think part of it, if you think it yourself, and you're in the entertainment business, I'm sort of on the periphery of it myself. You just say to yourself, an entertainment person, and I'm not a psychologist, so I don't want to get too technical here, but I'd have to say most of them just aren't hooked up right.
There's
like you say, something missing in their lives. It could have been their parents didn't love them, or they were raised in a very difficult environment.
Yeah.
From
yeah.
stress and yeah. angst comes this sort of thinking and inward turning. And it turns them into seeking some sort of justification and some sort of alternate existence. So they don't go into the insurance business, and they don't sell used cars usually.
Right.
But and some used car dealers are entertainers because they do their own commercials.
That's right. That's right.
There is something that wants the approval of others, and I think that's a lot to do with what puts people in there.
Yeah.
And some, I've met some who are as normal as the day is long, and some who just, you wonder, how do they function in a normal circumstance?
You know, you do. It's interesting. And I know you have met a lot of these folks and interviewed them for years and years and years. And so maybe you can get the audience acquainted with how you first meet these celebrities. You know, we're talking movie stars, TV actors, primarily film, and not to mention sports stars, folks like that. But those are through what are called junkets.
Mostly movie junkets, that's correct.
Tell the listeners what a junket is. Are you a junketeer?
Used to be a junketeer. Junket no more.
Okay.
Because I'm now out of the business and writing for a different living.
Oh, you're an author.
Yeah, that's true.
You're writing about junketeering. Though.
I did that. That's what Doing Julia is about. Which, by the way, although it sounds iffy, it's not. There's perfect explanation of what that means. You have to read the book to know. Junketingers, instead of taking stars on a little and put them on a covered wagon, sending them around the country to talk to interviewers, they bring them to one city and they fly the interviewers in.
Uh-huh.
And this happens almost every weekend. There's a regular coterie of people who do that. I was fortunate to be on that list for a while. And you go in television and radio. Well, in television primarily, you get about 5 minutes one on one or one on two with a star or a couple of stars for each movie.
Yeah.
I call it, what I'm putting together for this new book is I'm calling it celebrity side swipes.
Uh-huh.
Because you're not spending a long amount of time with them.
Right.
But if you're, again, like me, not quite hooked up right, you want to look for a different angle for your interviews. You want to look for a different kind of interview that you get that's away from all the, tell me about the movie, what attracted you to the script, and all this sort of, and they get bored with that too.
Sure.
So if you can surprise them, if you can do something a little bit different frequently, that will get you a better interview and get you a moment that you can use that's more, and a little insight into the personality and the psychosis, if it is.
Right. And that's because you do that. See, that's how I've seen you interview people before. Well. You know, that's because you kind of know how to twist things, get people laughing, because you are a comedian. I mean, let's face it.
Try it. You know, try to be.
And you have a way of sort of getting people out of their head of, oh, God, here we come. Here's another anchor reporter who's going to ask me about the film or how did I feel about the role.
Exactly.
And so what are some of the questions that, you know, the approaches that you have used in the past?
Actors? If you're not the first person to talk to them, which I rarely am, you get a little feedback from the other people. How to go? What was it like?
Right.
What are they responding to?
Right, right.
And someone will tell me that so-and-so is a difficult interviewer. They're not very friendly or so-and-so. So I walk in and I say, Robert De Niro, in this case, how the hell are you? He just looked at me startled. Who says that to Robert? Who says that to me?
Right.
He's smiling. He says, I'm the hell fine. How are you? So I loosen him up a little. He's still a lousy interview, but that's not personal. He just doesn't have a lot to say.
Right.
He puts it all in his screen performances.
Makes sense.
And the same thing with another actor. I said, I hear you're really hard to talk to. I am not. You know, you're trying to flip it on him a little bit.
Right, right.
And you'd be surprised. Sometimes people just don't ask the right questions. I'll give you a good example.
Yeah.
When Macaulay Culkin, remember him?
Oh,
the little,
what a cutie.
Yeah, from Home Alone. He was an 11-year-old kid, and people were coming out of his interviews tearing their hair out, saying, oh, a kid, don't talk.
Yeah,
I got to have
a
7-part series on the thoughts of Macaulay Culkin. He says one word, two words, and he won't answer the question.
Yes and no answered.
Well, this is a while ago, and I had myself an 11-year-old at that point, and I knew what the secret was.
Yeah.
They don't answer questions because they don't like the question.
Right.
You can't get them to answer the question. You keep asking a new question. And by actual count, I asked him 52 questions in 5 minutes. including, are you married and what's the capital of Idaho? And I finally broke through at one point. I said, will you do the scream for me, the famous scream from Home Alone?
Oh, yes.
He said, no, I don't want to hurt my voice. I said, well, how about if I do it for you? He says, yeah, do it. And I did it. And he said, that's not loud enough. He started directing me.
Oh, that's
That
great.
Was the moment. He was a kid. He's a kid, and that's how you handle a kid. Now, a lot of adults are kids, too, and you have to treat them with either kid gloves or just needle them or ask them. Look for a question they haven't had yet. That's the best thing.
That's so cool. That's really...
Well, that's what made it fun for me, too.
Exactly. And, you know, in your book, and your new book as well.
Upcoming.
You talk about some of your... Doing Julia is the current book, by the way, folks. You can find it anywhere. Amazon's great. You have some personal favorites you've written down here that I, you know, I'm really fascinated with, such as... Well, I'll let you, you know, talk about... And some of the more contemporary folks who are really, you know...
Well, you know, for example, take obviously fairly contemporary Arnold Schwarzenegger. People see him as a governator, and they don't like that, or they think he's a big empty muscle head. Mm. Well, at first you get that impression,
right?
But if you get to know him a little bit and get to interview him a little bit, you'll realize that he really is a very funny guy, a warm guy at times, and a great interview. I went in one time, and he started. You realize that I would do anything except talk about his movie,
right?
You don't want to talk about my movie.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I just say you always want to talk your movies. I can talk about anything. You ask me about anything. I said, okay, I will.
Way to go.
Yeah. And I said, I noticed there was a red Hummer pointed out at the hotel, and you usually drive a black one. Did they give you a new one? Did you buy a new one? I says, well, yes, I got me a new red Hummer, and I got in it this morning to drive down here and tell you all about my new movie. Well, he wasn't being an idiot. He was being very funny, and that cracked me up.
Yeah, he is sharp.
And he's that he really, you'd think he isn't, but he is. And there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them are based on the fact that I admire their work. Steve Allen, the late talk show host who invented The Tonight Show. Dick Van Dyke, who created the not created, but starred in a number of shows, including his own.
Right.
And people along those lines. Jodie Foster,
brilliant
lady.
She was terrific, wasn't she?
Oh,
I love her acting. She's amazing.
And the interesting
thing is
she's
a nice person?
And she's brilliant. She's a little reserved, but she's brilliant.
Yeah.
And you find you ask her a question, she gives you an answer that takes about a minute and a half, and it's compound complex sentences and big words, and you think to yourself, how can I cut this down to a 15-second bite?
Right.
And then you transcribe it, and you look at it, and you realize everything parses. The sentences are in
it's
the same tense.
Yes.
There's the right, the subject agrees with the predicate.
And you can't edit it.
Yale
well.
Education. You have no problems whatever with getting it to work.
So she's really brilliant. She's educated. Isn't she Harvard educated?
Yale, actually.
Oh, okay. So, sorry, guys.
Yeah, watch it.
Ooh,
I hear
sorry.
They have Oxford, Cambridge type thing going there. You watch out for that.
Sandra Bullock, you said, is an amazing person.
They get to know you. The publicists get to know what you like and don't like. And they said, John, this is a movie you'll love. I said, I'll be the judge of that. I'm the critic here.
Yeah.
And it was While You Were Sleeping. And, of course, fell in love with it. And that was her breakthrough movie.
Sure.
And I went to see her, and I asked, again, looking for the odd question, something like that. I said, you know, you were basically unknown about a year ago, and now you're going to be a superstar. And I want you to know, I'd like to ask you, and will you tell me, are you going to be the same lovely person you are now? Are you going to be a horrible woman? And most of them laugh and say, she took it very seriously. Oh, no. My parents raised me right, and I'm going to... And then she, you know, she smiled and laughed and played along with it, but she was very serious about it. She took
That's
the question
great.
Seriously.
Oh,
and she has
a
couple of bad marriages, maybe, but she's had some, just is highly liked or has been over the years in the industry.
Yeah.
And
sometimes the nice girls pick the bad boys. You know, what's that about?
Something about that,
Yeah.
It goes all the way back to high school.
Or daddy issues. I don't know.
Maybe that's it.
You really liked Rosie O'Donnell?
Yes, I did.
She shot herself in the foot, honey.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was up with that?
Well, this was a long time ago.
Yeah,
I have to admit.
Okay.
Well, she took a thorn out of my paw. It was very simple. She knew what... I don't think she did it intentionally, but...
Yeah.
She did the movie. She was in, of course, The League of Their Own, which is a baseball movie. And one of the side stories we were aware of is that the coach from USC, the batting coach, had trained the women in that movie to bat. So my kid was in high school then, and he played high school baseball. I took him down to the batting coach. We did a story.
Wow.
And Rosie watched it, and she talked about it on everything. And, okay, that's fine. But every time I saw her afterwards, she says, how's Andrew's batting?
You know,
that kind of humanity.
So she really was thinking about you and your family.
Yeah. And remembered his name and the whole thing.
That's cute.
They say she never forgets a lyric, and I think she may have a... As a friend of mine, you'd say, a photogenic memory.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, so she's, it turned nice. She may have, she has her issues, but then any friend who is not a friend of Donald Trump is a friend of mine.
Okay. Well, I hear that. Yeah. I get that. Yeah. I really do.
We won't go political, but that's...
Yeah, I mean, we can go political if you want. Right. But, I mean, you know, it's... And it's also interesting because so many celebrities do go political.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's fine.
At some risk. I was reading on the internet, people were attacking... Oh, what the heck's her name? I've forgotten her name now. Yeah. Oh, Taylor Swift. Because she spoke out, you should register and vote, and you should vote Democrat. That was her opinion.
Right.
And people say, blah, blah, blah. How dare she do that? Well, I think it's a little brave. It's not brave to tell people to go vote, of course, but to talk about endorsing certain candidates and things like that.
Yeah.
You risk alienating at least half your audience.
Right, right.
And kudos for someone who does that. And people say, would you feel the same way if she said a Republican? The answer is yes. Not as enthusiastically.
Sure.
But I would have admired her courage for saying that.
Yeah. So go ahead.
I'm just saying, you know, you're allowed a lot of capital when you become a celebrity, and how you spend it is important. And sometimes squander it, and sometimes you can use it for what you believe in. I admire people who do that.
Oh, I hear you. No, that's a really good point. I was just reading some of the information, you know, this morning on, and yesterday, they had this whole huge thing that came out, and people and... Of course, all the websites that, you know, are celebrities.com, things like that, about some of the most difficult folks, you know, to work with. And I was just reading some of these things this morning, and I know you've encountered Charlie Sheen, Mike Myers, Sharon Stone, Casey Affleck. Katherine Heigl's supposed to be really difficult to work with.
Don't know her. Never worked with her.
Oh, okay. No. Yeah.
But the others, yeah, Sharon Stone.
Yeah.
This was right. I had an interview right after her famous scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And... She was charming.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting,
I think she was
too.
on her P's and Q's because she'd gotten some bad publicity, but she couldn't have been
nicer. Exactly. Okay, that's
Charlie
good to know.
Sheen was hungover.
Right. Well, duh, you know.
Perhaps still drunk, and we got along fine.
And
I
whatever.
Think I was hungover, too, which helped.
That's
we compared headaches.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of who else. You know, of course, Brando, classic stuff. He's get off my lawn guy.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They're there to do the work in many cases. And those are the ones with a bad reputation.
That's right.
The Hail Fellow Well Met may not be the best actor, whereas, you know, there. I was talking to, I wasn't talking, but I heard this through the grapevine that a certain person who had to sign some, you know, secret document saying I will never reveal anything that happened on the set of such and such, indeed did gossip about the fact that they signed a contract that said you may not make eye contact with the stars. Well, that sounds terribly self-indulgent until you realize the star might be focusing very hard on how to get the next scene and doesn't want to have to interact with someone.
Absolutely.
Or they might just be an egotist. It doesn't, you know, it depends on the star.
Yeah.
But you've got to write a little slack for these people for what they do. It's not easy. And if they're jerks off screen, well, then they're jerks.
Right. And I think, you know, so many actors and actresses who are good, you know, they make it look easy.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, everybody's a star in social media and wants to do that. But it is not easy to be a good actor or actress. Well, I guess it comes natural for some people. I mean, you have, you know, in your book, you have information listed about some of your faves. Most talented, Meryl Streep, Robert De Niro, like you said. You
These are real wild stretches on my part.
And you said Tom Hanks, of course, was an amazing
classic
interview.
Example of a guy who makes it look easy.
Yeah.
But it's also, I think it's a little bit like bridge, if you want to compare it to that. Bridge, you have to be able to bid a hand, and you have to be able to play the hand. Whereas in acting, you not only have to be able to play the part, you have to get the part. You have to be able to work with directors. You have to be able to revise the script if necessary without hurting people's feelings too much and to make it work for you. So there's sometimes opposite skill sets at work there with celebrities.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, it's really true. So and of course, Meryl Streep goes without saying, she's pretty good to interview, right? She's a pretty nice gal.
She's a little shy, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
Like many stars are, but a little bit, yeah.
Wow.
One of my favorites in that category is Emma Thompson, who
I love her.
Two Academy Awards, including one for writing.
Yeah.
And she, at the point in time she was divorcing Kenneth Branagh, who she'd been married to for a number of years. And I mean, the publicist said, don't ask her any personal questions. Stay away from Kenneth Branagh.
Right.
I said, okay, I don't. You know, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
And I didn't. And the interview ended, and it was time for her to take a break. She stood up, and I stood up, and I looked at her, and you could see she was off in a sad world at that point.
Oh, yeah.
And I just said, excuse me, they told me not to ask you any personal questions, and I won't. But I just want to tell you, I'm very sorry for what's happening to you. And it's like I took a thorn out of her paw to use the same cliche.
Exactly.
She said, oh, thank you so much. It's just been awful. I can't tell you. And I realized maybe they didn't tell her people weren't supposed to ask about it. And she thought, nobody cares.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I mean, the lack of communication sometimes. Yeah. And it's all about their publicists and the publicists for the film or the film company. And, you know, they all work together, I guess, and how this.
And they don't always tell the star what they're up to.
Well,
and
exactly.
You know what? Maybe she thought she didn't want to hear about it. I don't know. I didn't want to get personal. It was not my business.
Yeah.
And she's doing fine now, I think.
Hmm. I hear
What a talent, though. What a talent.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was a movie she won the writing Oscar for. That was one of many she's been in.
Yeah. Yeah. She was amazing, and I really like her. You just kind of like her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Funny for her. People see her in the serious roles and think, oh, she must be very... No.
Right.
She started out as a sketch comedian,
right.
And she's got a great sense of humor.
Yeah, really. I agree. Guys, if you just tuned in here, you're on the couch. This is Dr. Michelle, and my guest today is John Corcoran. He is a 7-time Emmy Award-winning reporter,
Every
anchor.
Single one highly deserved, I should point out.
Yeah, and
I'm lucky sometimes.
Yeah, no, you really were rocking it. And I think it was because of all of your interviews that you did, and you made them, you know, so interesting. Yeah, it wasn't just the same, how did you like the role in the film? And you know, you really appealed to the individual's personalities and their own, you know, that you threw them off, sort of, and they found it refreshing.
And you know what? Yeah. The one thing, important lesson I learned, the cliche is true, be nice to the little people.
Yeah, exactly.
And by little people, I just mean the people who hang around, the people who are doing other jobs.
Right, right.
When Whoopi Goldberg and Ted Danson were made a movie together a long time ago, but they were rumored, and it was true, they were having an affair.
Yeah.
And he was married, and it was a naughty thing, and people didn't want to talk about it. And you got the word, do not ask questions about it.
That's right.
But people asked
Everybody
anyway.
Everybody knew. Yeah.
They knew.
Right.
And I asked one of the techies before I went in for the interview, I said, how's it going in there? And he says, well, you know, you may ask them about the affair, but I'll tell you what they're doing. They're holding up signs that say, next question.
Oh, my gosh.
We're not going to answer.
Whoa.
Just literally holding up signs that say, thank you. And I pulled out my notebook, and I got the hard cardboard thing. And I wrote something down on that.
Yeah.
So at the end of the interview, I said, you know, I don't normally ask these kind of questions, but I just got it. And before I even got the question out, they're holding up their signs, which say, you know, we're not going to answer next question.
Right.
I reached in my pocket and I pulled out my notebook and it said, I know, but I just had to ask.
Oh, wow.
Well,
that's
Danson
cool.
fell off his chair. And he started directing. He says, keep this thing rolling. I want to get a close-up on this. This is great. So that was my moment. I got my moment, and it entertained them, too. So
and you got your Emmy for that one.
No,
probably.
I don't think I did. Well, it might have been part of one of the specials I did, but yeah.
That's so cool.
Gives you satisfaction. You're not doing all that. You're not curing cancer or doing rocket science, but it gives everybody a little bit of a fun. Good for you. And thank you, particularly to the techie who tipped me off.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, absolutely. It's always nice to have somebody like that, give you a little heads up, you know. Speaking about Whoopi Goldberg, you know, the latest news about Neil Patrick Harris coming out and saying in his first film, I think that was his first film, I'm blanking on it, you'd probably know, that Whoopi Goldberg, who was young back then, he was like a kid. I mean, he was a teenager and this is, you know, really young, solicited him. She said, you know, in so many words,
I'm shocked. And
I would love to get together with you. And I have, you know, sort of this thing for you. And that you know, is intimated that. So that came out yesterday. It was sort of the most interesting news. You know, maybe she
should have
said that.
Call me partially agog.
Yeah, that was like years ago. I mean, come on.
Why not?
I mean, he's young, but I mean, he was.
I take it he said no because
he's gay.
Doesn't have interest.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a good looking man, but
not really interested. And appreciate that.
Yeah, and women. So, I mean, but I kind of cringed. It was a little cringeworthy and I'm sure it was for Whoopi as well. Like, how
you don't
embarrassing.
Need these things to come out. Yeah.
She was young back then, and we all say stupid things when we're, you know, young.
Well, maybe it wouldn't have been, if he wasn't gay, it wouldn't have been stupid. Maybe they would have had a good time.
Maybe. Who knows?
You never know.
You never know, my dear. So, can we just briefly, you know, because you said read the book and you'll find out what Doing Julia, the title means, because it sounds a little iffy. Maybe you should explain that.
All right. So. When you're going to a junket, and there is maybe a superstar there, and you've been told in advance that she or he will not be doing everybody. You're not going to be talking to everybody because they limit their number of interviews.
Do they pick the person?
Or it depends if it's somebody they know or the market, or sometimes their publicist picks
for
them. The
first 15 or 20
Not the first 15 through the door, but yeah, the first 15 or 20 that makes sense. And maybe they've got a favorite or somebody that treats them well or they're friends with. And so as a result, if you see an old friend at a junket and it's a Julia Roberts junket, you say, "Are you doing Julia?"
Hence
the double entendre without any sense of entendreship.
So you and your buddy, who's the other reporter?
Yeah, you just was. Are you doing Julia? Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm doing it too. Okay, so that just means interviewing.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. I love that. So that's really good. But
yeah, you would think it would help it sell more, but, you know, plenty of copies left, as we say.
But there's always copies left.
It's well into its first printing.
And it's a good book. It's a very good book.
Well, thank you so much.
It's funny how you describe some of the situations and, you know, a lot of things we've been talking about today about, you know, what happened, you know, in your encounters with a lot of these actors and actresses, as well as some sports, you know, stars and, other folks like that. Astronauts. You've actually met Jack Schweigert from Apollo 13. Wow, Jim Lovell.
Yep, the commander of that, plus the people who played them, obviously, in the movie.
Right.
Yeah, that was one thing. Here's a truth about astronauts. Mm-hmm. They're never tall.
You know why?
Because they wouldn't fit in the capsule.
And it has something to do with G's. People who are smaller.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See, there you go. Learn something new in the Dr. Michelle Show every time I appear.
That's why they say a lot of smaller, you know, Air Force pilots and fighter pilots are smaller people because they
can take 9 or 10 G's
and pull out of
a turn and turn inside the MiG.
That's exactly right.
I like aviation stuff.
Hence,
Tom Cruise.
He's a small guy.
I tell you what, I got a lot of respect out of Tom Cruise when he did that crazy thing with the talk show host. Mm-hmm. And they showed him skydiving, and he was doing tricks and stunts and the whole thing.
Wow.
Guy does his own stunts. It's true.
He does. In the last Mission Impossible, we're giving him free PR here.
Yeah.
They kept that scene in the movie. Did you see it?
I didn't see the outtake.
He was hanging off
the airplane.
Yeah, well, actually, not that one, but he actually jumped from one building to the other.
Yeah.
He was running from the bad guys.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, "I want to do this jump myself." He loves to do a lot of his own
stunts.
Oh,
right,
you know.
I remember now.
And actually, he ended up not completely getting over to the wall, but ended up falling and catching himself on his hands and broke some ribs because he banged into the wall.
Yeah.
They kept that for the film. Because it was so real.
Yeah.
But he was dying. I mean, he went to the hospital, I guess, and got his ribs set and sort of had to heal before they continued filming his scenes.
Yeah.
But,
athlete.
Yeah, really good athlete. So back to who else, some of the other celebrities you've interviewed. Also, political. Didn't you send a copy of your book to President Clinton and President Carter?
No, I did not send a copy to him. I handed it to them.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Yes, I did. The first book I came out with called True Grits.
Right.
A hilarious handbook to survival in Jimmy Carter's America. I wrote it as a child, a long time ago, obviously. And I got to meet him. He was actually flailing his own book. So I was interviewing him as the entertainment guy.
Sure.
It turned out there was breaking news that day, and I got to do some hard news on that, too. But I handed him an autographed copy of the book, and I don't think he'd heard of it or read it or anything, but he took it with him and thanked me, and we took photographs and the whole book.
Wow.
And then, believe it or not, my son was a speechwriter for Clinton, and the thing with Clinton was if you had relatives, you got to have one. They get to meet him.
Yes.
So we all got together and met him, and I handed him a copy. And my son, John, had suggested bring a little present for him.
Right.
He'll stay long. And we talked for like 10, 15 minutes, and people were in line beeping and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and he accepted a copy of that. And somebody who also was in the White House said that was still on his desk a week later. So I'm hoping maybe he read it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that was fun. That was good encounters with those people.
Amazing stories. And guys, it's about that time already. Thank you so much for showing up
to
the studios today.
I apologize for being late.
Oh, God. No. It's great. It's so nice to have you here. And, you know, it's always fun and entertaining to listen to you. And, guys, if you want to pick up his book, it's called Doing Julia. You can find it anywhere, actually. You just Google it. But it's also on Amazon. That's the best way to get it.
It is the easiest way.
It's a great book.
Or I'll sell you one of my copies. copies. I'm not proud.
That's right. And again, award-winning 7 Emmys.
7, count them, 7.
Amazing. John Corcoran, really, you've done so many interviews for so many networks, syndications, and, of course, well-known author on celebrities. Thank you so much for joining me today.
You've interviewed me, and you've done a wonderful job, and I thank you for it.
Well, thank you, sir.
Great to be on the show.
Oh, thanks for coming down. All right. Yeah. Guys, thank you all for listening today, coming on the couch with me. Next week, I have some self-help material. Okay, we all need some self-help, so I want you to kind of tune in. It's going to be a really excellent guest, an author who has been really sort of communicating with me for a long time. So we're going to find out how to go within and get yourself on a better, I guess you might say, vibration for every day so you could be more successful in all you do. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Dr. Michelle here. Have a good one. Bye-bye now.